Go with me now to John chapter 4, John's Gospel chapter 4. Most of you were here last Sunday, and when I got home, I was just filled overflowing like this woman. And I went home and sat down, and I couldn't write things fast enough. I kept thinking about this, and I worked on it a good while last Sunday afternoon. The Lord Jesus Christ, the great Son of God, the great Redeemer and Savior of His people, became a man and walked this earth. He walked thousands of miles. Thousands of miles. On this earth, seeking His lost sheep. He never took an idle step. His steps, everything He did was in the direction of saving His people. He said that about Himself. I'm come to seek and to save that which was lost. He gave the illustration, the parable of the good shepherd. He left the 99 and went after the one. And He says, and when He findeth this, no question that He will find His lost sheep. He said, and He did. He went about seeking and saving every one of His lost sheep. And all of them heard His voice. Everyone He saves, they heard His voice. He made Himself known to them. They knew Him as their Lord, as their Savior, as their Christ, their Messiah, who had come for them. He came to this town called Sychar that was in Samaria. It says He must go there. He must, because this was a preordained meeting before the world began. And this is one of His lost sheep, He said, that I must bring. He cannot be called Savior if He doesn't save every single person He seeks. That's His name. But He came to Sychar, to Samaria, and He sat on a well. And you saw with me, and you know this, that everything there is a picture of Him. He is the well. This is He who sat on the circle of the earth, who sits on the circle of the earth, and now He walks on His earth, made flesh, walked on this earth, and sat on a well. He is the well. And the woman that came, He's waiting on her. He has a meeting with her. She belongs to Him. She's His bride. She's lost. She's fallen. She's a forlorn woman. But He came. He waited on her. He waited to be gracious. He spoke to her. He opened her deaf ears. She heard His voice. He opened her blind eyes. He created in her a hunger and thirst for Him. And then met that need, convicted her of her sin, spoke peace to her heart by just these few words. Look at John 4:26. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am. And I'm not going to say her life changed. No, her life just began. See, we're born again. We're begotten by the Word of God. And that Word is Christ Himself. The seed. What He was saying to her is, I am that I am. I am come for you. I am your Christ. I am your Lord. I am your Father. I am your husband. I am your Redeemer. I am your Savior. I am your righteousness. I am your holy, your high priest. I am that I am. I've come for you. The Father hath sent me for you. And here I am. 1 Timothy 3:16 says this, and this is another one of those key verses that we all need to know where it is and what it says, because this is a marvelous, marvelous declaration of the whole truth, without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, meaning declared by the Spirit of God. Are you with me?
The whole world needs to hear this, but they're not. You are. Justified, declared by the Holy Spirit of God to be the Christ. Seen of angels, which things the angels desire to look into. Man doesn't care. Angels do. God's people do. Preached unto Gentiles. Came up, sent the gospel all the way over here to this place. Where? Sychar. Where? For who? One woman? Yeah. Believed on in the world. I believe, don't you? What do you believe? That he's the Christ, the Son of the living God, and received up into glory. What a verse. Justified in the Spirit, meaning declared by the Spirit of God to be the Christ. At his baptism, you know these things, but I love saying them again. At his baptism, the Spirit of God descended upon him, landed on him like a dove. Whether it was actually a bodily, it was like a dove. Men make idols, graven images and pictures of stuff and worship them. Don't put a dove anywhere, okay? No, it says like a dove. But he's descended, the Spirit of God descended on Christ, landed on him, it says. Landed on him. And John said, I knew him not, but who God said, this whom you see the Spirit, that's him. And John said, that's whom I declare. You see, he's the Son of God. He's Christ. Christ. That's who he is. That's why he came. That's what he's called. That's what he's called. That's what he's supposed to be called. That's who he is, the Christ. I want you to just look. You see, this book declares Jesus to be the Christ. And look at the top of every page. Christ revealeth himself unto a woman of Samaria. Turn the page. Christ showeth who he is. Turn the page. Christ walketh on the sea. Turn the page. Many believe on Christ. Christ teaches in the temple. Different opinions of Christ. Christ the light. That's why I like this book. It declares Christ. It doesn't say Jesus. You notice that? The top of your book, the King James Bible, nearly every page, Christ, 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 Christ. Because that's who he is. You must know him as the Christ. This woman came and said, when Christ is come, Messiah, which means Christ, he'll tell us all things. Christ said, I am. He's the Christ. He's the Christ. That's what this book declares, that man named Jesus is the Christ. Listen to Paul in his preaching. Paul said, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us they're saved, it's the power of God. The wisdom of God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. What do you preach, Paul? We preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. The next chapter, he said, I came to Corinth. I didn't want to talk about anything or anyone. That's not why I came. He said, I've determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Christ. That's why who he is. That's why he came. That's what we call him. Jesus Christ. You've heard this, but one time a woman was leaving Katy Baptist Church, where Scott was a pastor at that time. She just had all she could take. She'd heard Scott preach for a long time. And she came up to him, literally said this to him. She came up after the service. She said, all you preach is Christ, Christ, Christ. She said, I've written it down. That's all you preach is Christ, Christ, Christ. Meaning that in a derogatory way. And that old man, he was probably my age at the time. He said, write that on my tombstone. Would you write that on my tombstone? Why? Because Christ is Oh! What does that mean? Look at what the woman said to him. And we're not getting any further than this, but we don't need to. Okay? What he said to his disciples in private, we're going to deal with that later. Maybe Wednesday. But she said, she knew this much, verse 25, I know that Messiah's cometh, which is called Christ. When he's come, he'll tell us all things. And he did. And he began with her by telling her, I am. What? All things. Are you with me? Let's look at that a little bit. When John said, you turn to John 14. You turn to John 14. Let me read to you what John, the baptizer, said. He said, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things unto him. This woman said, when he come, he'll tell us all things. Look at John 14 with me. John 14, 6. Now what he said here takes in everything. Verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's all there is. He's all. All things. Verse 17, look at it. The Spirit of truth thou send, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him. He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Verse 26. The Comforter, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Bring all things to remembrance. What?
Whatsoever I have said unto you. All things. When Christ has come, he'll teach us all things. Yes, him.
All things. Look at chapter 16. Look at chapter 16. He said, when he, the Holy Spirit, verse 8, is come, he will prove the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because
I go to the Father, my Father.
You see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. By who?
Christ.
You have many things to say unto you. But you cannot bear them now. Verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. Now remember, the Spirit anointed Christ. Points to Christ. When he is come, he'll not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He'll show you things to come. He'll glorify me. He shall receive of mine and show them unto you all things that the Father hath. Are mine. Therefore, I said, he shall take of mine and show it to you. Man, I want to see some smiles because this, our Lord is talking to his disciple, and they all know that Christ is all. That's who they call him. He's the Christ. This woman said, when Christ has come, he'll show us all things. He did. And she ran back and told her friends and her, whoever it was, this is the Christ. I've met the Christ. There's only one. And that's what we do. Because that's who we've seen. That's who we've heard. That's who we worship. That's who he is. That's what he did.
And that's what we call him.
All things. When Christ has come, he'll show us all things. He is all things. Christ is all wisdom. I love this. All wisdom. What do you need to know? I'm 67 years old, about to turn 68 years old. I've learned all I need to know back in kindergarten. No, but really, I don't need to know anything else that this world has to teach me. Do you? Oh, but I want to grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ. I know in part. That's why I have fears and doubts and worries and anxiety and all that, because I just don't know Christ well enough.
If I knew him better, I wouldn't have these things.
He's all wisdom, righteousness, sanctification. He's the one that sets us apart. Redemption? We're not worth redeeming. We can't redeem ourselves. He did. He got the price. The soul that sinned. God made his soul. He's all the ways of God, the truth of God, the peace of God, the purpose of God, the glory of God, all the fullness of God. This woman came to this well that day with her empty water pot. And she, every day she would go to the well and fill up her vessel. She didn't know that her vessel, heart, was just as empty as that pot. Well, she came and filled up that pot and go home and it emptied. And come back and just kept. And when she met Christ, he filled her vessel up and she dropped her water pot. Don't need that anymore. I'm full. Of his fullness she received grace. Christ is all the fullness of God, and of his fullness have we received, like this one. Christ is all the love of God. Christ said to his disciples, "The Father loveth you because you love me." You know that? You love me, and God loves you. Oh, man. All the joy, all the hope. Saved by hope. The world has hope. They hope in man. Mankind's hope is in mankind. That's a bad hope. If all your hope is in mankind, you're hopeless. Because this world is hopeless in itself. There's only one hope. And we're saved by hope. And that hope is Jesus Christ. Hope. All our hope. All our peace. There is no peace. Our Lord said there's no peace for the wicked. He said there's going to be wars and rumors of war. And that religion is going to say peace, peace, when there is no peace. But now Christ said there in John, he said, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you." He made peace with God. God's not angry with his people. He ought to be, but he's not. Why? One reason. And you know that, don't you? Don't you, brother? You know that. Don't you, Patrick? So what do we preach? Christ. He's the peace, our peace. I want you to have peace. I want you to have hope. And there's only one thing I can tell you to have that. Trust Christ. Look to Christ. And be saved from despair and from doubts and fears and from worry and from wrath to come. Look to Christ. Christ is all. He's all our peace, all our comfort. There's no comfort anywhere yet. All our knowledge, he's all you need to know. Jesus Christ is all the religion you need. All you need to know. All understanding. As said, the world has no hope, but those who hope in Christ have a good hope, a real hope, a true hope. And it's only called hope because we're not there yet, but we are in Christ. I'm here to tell you because Scripture says it. We're seated with him in the heavenly. That's how closely united we are to Jesus Christ. We're one with him. We feel separated. No. He's with us. We're in his heart, in his mind, in his purpose, in his hands, in his love. In him, or with him. And he went back where he's running this universe, and he's coming back for his bride just like he came for this woman at this well. He's coming for you. He's coming for you. That's good. All right, God's coming for you. And like David Edmondson said, he's out to do you good. And everything on the top side of God's earth works together for good. Because our God's good. And he is God. That's how he can do it. Work everything. Even evil. Somebody say amen. Oh, if that doesn't make you happy. Hope in Christ. Oh, this hope will save your heart, mind, soul, and body. As said, this woman came to this well empty. Boy, she went home full. Christ spoke to her. What did he say to her? He revealed himself to her. He filled her heart with living water himself. Now, he may have said more to her than we know, but he said all that's written. All that's written is all we need to hear. What? I am. That's all we need to know. Well, now she knows. He's the Christ. He's her salvation. And he filled her vessel. As said, she dropped her verse in our text. Look at it. It says in verse 28, the woman left her water pot. But she's coming back. She's coming back. The disciples came. Verse 27. See, our Lord was speaking to her alone. And that's how the Lord deals with every one of us, alone. He'll speak to you. Your sheep is going to hear his voice. And when you first hear the gospel, you think you're the only one in that room. You think that preacher's talking to me. He is. God is the one speaking. But the disciples came back while he was talking to her. And it's just sad, but they marveled that he was talking with her. Everybody knew this forlorn woman. They knew her. Her reputation was everywhere. And these men forgot where they were, or came from, didn't they? Simon Peter, just 2 years before this, he was a cussing sailor, longshoreman in a ship. Cuss God and cuss men, fight everybody in his path. He completely forgot who he was and where he came from and who came for him and who spoke to him. They marveled that he spoke to this woman. I do too. I marvel that he spoke to me. Don't you? It's a marvel that God would come to this earth, have anything to do with man. It's a marvel. Why? Because he's marvelous. A marvelous, merciful Messiah. That's him. I marvel. Don't you marvel that he spoke to you? Now they forgot. People crying racism all over. Everybody's racist. Everybody's racist. Everybody likes their own kind. Everybody. Why? Because man's depraved. Man loves himself. Man's biased against everybody but himself. And when God saves a man, he changes that completely. He begins to hate himself and love others. He begins to hate sin, love God, holiness. Hate himself and love God. He begins to quit listening to man, start listening to God. He begins to realize for the first time in his life when God saves him, he begins to realize, I am a nothing and a nobody, a sinner deserving of God's wrath. But God, in great mercy and grace and love to my soul, spoke peace to me, sent Christ to save me. What a God. And then he begins to think how blessed he is just to be a part of these good people all around him. Right? You know, Mary Magdalene and Mary the Virgin were close friends. I'm sure Mary the Virgin probably thought she's a better woman than I am.
Mary Magdalene's at his feet all the time. She never left his feet. Remember, Mary the Virgin came, former virgin. Came outside, you know, said, I want to speak to my son. You need to be in there with Mary Magdalene at his feet. But they were close friends. They esteemed each other better than themselves. And these disciples. Well, this woman dropped her water pot. And if you really meet Christ, if you really hear his voice, did you read the article at the bottom of the bulletin? Did you? If you really know Christ, you'll drop everything and everyone for him. I'm telling you, if you don't, you won't. Now she's coming back. She's so
She left because the disciples came up, and because, you know, she's meek and humble, and her disciples, all these men came up, and for propriety and courteous and respect, she leaves these disciples. She knows these are apostles and the Lord, and she leaves, and she's going to run home, you see, into town where she lives. She's got to tell somebody. She's got this new wine in her. It's got to give vent. She's got to tell somebody what great things the Lord has done for her. That's what, when the Lord does it, you're going to tell somebody. You don't have to put a sign on your shirt or whatever. Mark, you say, it'll leak out on you. He said, even the old hound dog will know it. She ran home. She's coming back. She's not going to leave. I don't think she left him from this day on. Our Lord had more women following him than he did men. When it was over, there's a bunch of women at the foot of the cross. I believe it was this woman right here. She ran home, left that water pot. She got filled with him and ran home to tell all her friends and tell that fella she was living with. Said, honey, I'm leaving you. Or you got to leave. Come with me. Look at verse 29. Come see a man. He told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Come. She said, come. You see, she's going back. She's going back to him. Wherever she had to go at the time and tend to whoever, whatever, that's not going to keep her away from him. She's going to leave them for him. He didn't come back for a water pot. It doesn't say she picked it back up. She has him. She's going to have a rock with water flowing out of it following her the rest of her day. Now, I want to just look at this just a few minutes. I've only been preaching 26 minutes. She said, come see a man. A man, but he's more than that. He's God manifest in the flesh. A man, yes. Flesh and bones, like Adam said of Eve. When God put Adam to sleep. Didn't you love that? When God put Adam to sleep and opened up his, wounded his side. And when he woke up, there was a woman standing there, created out of his side. That's Christ, crucified. Flesh and bones, a man, a body thou hast thou given me. A man made of a woman, though she didn't give him life. But he came out of a womb. He borrowed a womb like he borrowed the tomb. A man made of a woman. Why? Made under the law. The second man, the second Adam. This is the covenant head. This is the federal head. This is the one in whom all things depend. In Adam all died. All mankind died spiritually and died physically. I'm here to tell you, this is good news now. We're all going to die. Everything's going to die. We're going to lose everything we have on this earth. It's going to die. We already experienced that, haven't it? It fills us with sorrow. It leaves us empty. People that filled us with joy, we lose them. And something dies within us, doesn't it? But those in Christ are made alive. Life more abundant. Everything you enjoy now, joy unspeakable. Full of glory. Why? Jesus Christ. A man, the second Adam, came in Christ. All those in Christ are made alive. A man. A great high priest, touched with the feet of our infirmities. Tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. She said, come hear a man. Come see a man. What you'll do if you come to Christ is you'll see a man. You'll see that God made his son a man for you, for men. And you'll see his glory. And you'll see him much more than a man. You'll say with her, this is the Christ. She first said, "He told me all things."
Ever I did.
Told me all things. He knew me. He knows me. Don't you love Psalm 139 where David said, "Thou hast searched me and known me." Just like Adam knew his wife Eve and they became one. Christ came and makes himself known to his people and they become one. He reveals himself in them. Not only to them, but in them. It fills them with himself. Come see a man. Is not this the Christ? Let me just give you a few things here in closing. What makes this one the Christ and not the others, the Antichrist? When you come here and other places like Ashland and Fairmont and wherever, Lexington and Kingsport, you'll see a man. You'll see a man preaching. You'll hear a man preaching, you know. What's he preaching? I'll tell you what he's preaching. A man, the God-man, Christ. You'll hear the difference between the true Christ and the false Christ. When you come see the man and hear the man, that's what God said about John, remember? What'd you go out to see? A man? A prophet? I tell you, God said, Christ said, "This is my man, God-man, God's man, sent of God." And this is how you know. He's saying, "This is the Christ. I'm going to declare to you the Christ." You see? This is the Christ. Is not this the Christ? Is it not the Christ who tells us all things? Doesn't ask us. Doesn't invite us. Doesn't plead with us. Not standing outside hoping. He's talking about himself as our hope. He's telling us. You with me, brother? Yeah, you are. You're nodding your head. He doesn't ask us anything, brother. He tells us. Aren't you glad? He commands us. He orders all things. And it's sure. He tells us, "It's all up to me." He doesn't say, "I've done all I can do, now it's up to you." He's saying, "I've done all that needs to be done. It's all over." He tells us, he declares it. He tells us all things. He tells us the truth. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. About God. He said, "He that hath seen me hath seen God." Job said that. Tells us the truth about us. Didn't he? He looked at his disciples and said, "If you being what? Evil?" That's what he said. How can you bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Man that drinketh iniquity like the water. That's the question all through the scripture. Job, how can man be just with God? Christ says, "I am your righteousness." 1 Corinthians 1:30. You want to hear it again? Of God. Are you in Christ? Who of God is made unto you. You don't have anything to do with it. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. All things. Now who are you going to glory in? Him. He's all things. He's all. Is not this the Christ? Is not this the true Christ? Who's our wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, all things. Is not this the Christ who tells us what to do, not ask us? Is not this the Christ who performeth all things for us? Who doeth all things for us? Who controlleth all things for us? Is not this the Christ who made this world and came into the world that he made and had control over every part of it, from the elements to the animals to the fish in the ocean? Is not this the Christ? He was no bystander when he was on the earth. He was controlling all things. Even when he's hanging on the cross. This is the Christ. The Messiah. Is not this the Christ They say it in Revelation, and we're going to say it with them one day. All power, all riches, all wisdom, all strength, all honor, all glory, all blessings. This is the Creator. This is the Controller. This is the Savior. This is the Lord. This is the King of the universe. This is the Christ. Is not this the Christ? Anything less is not the Christ. He came. Is not this the Christ who came sent by God to do a work for God's people? And when he was hanging on the cross, he said, "It is finished." Is not this the Christ who finished the work? Is not this the Christ who put away sin by the sacrifice of himself? Am I too loud for you? I'm not loud enough. Is not this the Christ who performeth all things, who put away sin, who right now sits down at the right hand of the majesty on high? He's not outside anybody's heart. No, he's seated, expecting his enemies to be made his footstool. And everyone whom he came to save, hear his voice. And they will. And when the last one is brought into the fold, he's coming again. To do what? To destroy the world. And bring his people back to glory. Every single one that he came to die for. Every single one Christ, God gave to him in that covenant. That's the second Adam from above. Every single one that God gave to him and Christ died for and arose and ever lives to make intercession for, he's coming back for. He can't lose a one of them. Is not this the Christ? Is not this the Christ? There is no other. There is no other. Okay. Number 249.